Next disease is, we're already up on 7 o'clock. Okay, we'll just do one more, and we'll do this one, and then we'll stop. That is the love of fame. That, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in the Quran that لا يريد, about individuals, that لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا. That they don't seek ascendancy in the earth, they don't seek supremacy, nor any type of corruption in the earth. Because the seeking of ascendancy is at the root of corruption in the earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَالْآخِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, and the final outcome, the final victory is for the people of taqwa. It's so befitting how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people of taqwa over here after the people who are seeking ulu. Because the people who are seeking to be on the top, they want to be the chair, they want to be the CEO, they want to be in charge, they want to be on the board, they want to be giving the khutbah, they want to be leading the prayer, they want to be everyone who wants to be on top, they're seeking some type of success. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that the very thing that you're seeking is not, you're going after the wrong, you know, the wrong chair. You're going after the wrong kursi. The person who will be sitting in the kursi, alil araiki yanzurun, are the people of taqwa. The aqibah, the final outcome, the success, the thing that you want, you're not going to get it by this way. You're going to get it by being humble and being a person of taqwa. Right? And then this is why man khada'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah. If you become humble for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lift you. In a narration, the Prophet he warned us that there's not two things which are so deleterious, you know, they're as deleterious, or if not more deleterious, as two hungry wolves that are set loose on a flock. If you look at a wolf, it's heartless, doesn't care. And sheep are so, you know, mulayim, and they're so humble, and they're so sweet, and they're so innocent, and they go and they rip and tear them apart, right? Because they're hungry. In the same way, these two wolves will come and destroy a person's heart, destroy a person's spirituality, destroy their akhirah. One of them is hubbe mal, and the other one is not talked about very much, is hubbe jah, right? Is the love of fame. And so sometimes people are driven. So a lot of times people, after they get a lot of money, they find out there's nothing there. We already talked about that. But then when they find that there's nothing there, do you know what they do? Then they start going after fame, right? They say, okay, now I'm going to run for office. Like, what do you know about running for office? You haven't read the Constitution once in your life, right? You know nothing about constitutional law. I mean, at least Obama was a professor of constitutional law at the University of Chicago. You could say he knows something about this field. You don't even know, like, how the departments of government work. Like, what are you doing there? Like, there's people who are in acting that they go into, you know, in politics. There's people who... Why do people cross over like that? Right? Why do people cross over? Or people who take big hits. Like, they could work in private practice and make tons of money, but then they go and work in some lab for very low amount of money. Because they're trying to achieve fame, right? They want to be the next Nobel laureate. They want to be, and I can tell you, even in medicine, there are some of these people that, you know, they walk through the halls and people, you know, they treat them like sheikhs, right? They're like, you know, they crumble at their feet because they're like, he's such a great mind. And they just look at them with awe and fascination. And people love that, right? They love that feeling of being in charge. And these are people of power, you know, and they're like, you know, they play with women and they play with people's lives, and they have this feeling of invincibility that we can do anything and no one can touch us. Big businessmen, your Wall Street types, you know, all of these CEOs. And it's very sad, right? So people start chasing that. And so this is one disease, is trying to seek the honor and respect from other people. And one of the mashayikh said it beautifully, that this is a type of disease, it's very subtle. Because you can only see it, you can only see some aspects of it when you don't get it. Right? So for example, if someone doesn't honor you and you feel something, right? How come they talked to me like that? How come they didn't call me Maulana? Right? How come they didn't say Dr. So-and-so? How come they don't know that I'm... Don't they know that I'm so educated and I have such a big job and I make this much money? Don't they know that I did this much work for the deen? Don't they know who I am? Right? That feeling of don't they know, that's one of the reasons why you realize that there may be this desire for fame in a person. You know, another person came and told one of the sheikhs, he said that, you know, these guys, they're calling you a donkey, right? They're calling you a mule. He said, "Hame jante isliye keh rahe hain," right? He said, "They know who I am, that's why they're saying it. I am a donkey." Right? When a person doesn't have enough, when you're effaced, it's not a big deal. Right? But when a person seeking fame wants this ascendancy, then it hurts them. You can also, one of the ways that you can diagnose if a person is seeking fame is by the planning that's involved. Fame doesn't come without planning. Seldom. It can happen, you can make some random video and it can go viral, yeah, maybe. But usually, it's going to take you 15 videos before that one TikTok video, maybe 50 videos, maybe 100 videos before that one goes viral. So that constant desire to try to go viral in one way or another, that planning, that's another red flag that a person maybe have the love of fame. And there, one of the sheikhs, he said that it's such a silly disease because it's just based on the thoughts of others. What is fame? It's like vapor, it's fog. You can't hold it, you can't touch it, you can't smell it, you can't see it, it's nothing. It's just someone else thinks in their mind, a random thought that exists in their mind about you. But because of that one thought, people change so much about themselves. It's capricious. And that one thought, they can change at any one time. They like, you know, Justin Bieber one day, then you hate Justin Bieber tomorrow. I can't stand his face. Right? And sometimes, you know, people who predicate their own whole life on the thoughts of others, their life is like a roller coaster. When it goes up and everyone likes them, then they're on a high. But when everyone puts thumbs downs and they don't like them, then they just go berserk. Right? Someone told me, like, you know, you want to know how to make a pretty girl go crazy? It's just don't give her any attention. Right? It's sort of true though, sadly, because they're so used to getting everything their way. People always falling over themselves. And actually, there is data to show that if you're better looking, you get a lot of breaks in life. Right? And and people write about it, about how biased they are. Like, you go to the airport, you're the one who gets the upgrade because they want a pretty good looking, well dressed people to sit in business class as an advertisement of this is the type of clientele. So, don't you want to live this type of lifestyle? Right? And it does happen. I didn't know that that kind of stuff can even happen. Like, they just upgrade you to business class, but it actually does. You know, the other way that happens is sometimes you just go out in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path and you're really tired and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of you. He's like, all of a sudden, there was no reason for you to be on a business class ticket that should cost $10,000. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, take a nap. You have a lot of work to do ahead of you. And you're in business class. That's another way that it happens. But more often happens when you're really good looking and have good looks, right? I mean, this is probably more common. Fame is bad because it's bad when you seek it, right? It's bad when you seek it because what happens is when you start seeking fame, then it brings other diseases too. Then it'll pull in kibr, it'll pull in vanity, it'll pull in ujb. And these things, even if the love of fame didn't kill you, then these other things are going to come and finish you off. And then these people become wiped out. This is different from if fame finds you. Right? One thing is seeking fame, but the other thing is that if fame finds you, then it's not necessarily a bad thing. Right? So for example, if you know people speak good of you, then you can actually take that as a good sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is manifesting how He sees you. Tilka ajilatul bushra type of thing. This is a good glad tiding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you here, that I'm so happy with you, I'm spreading the love of you amongst the creation, and what I have in store for you in the akhirah is even more. The malaika will greet you, I will greet you, tahiyyatuhum fiha salam, good things are ahead of you. So that's actually a good thing, and this is one of the things that happens. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, then He spreads the love of that person amongst the creation. And I mean, there's no one who's loved more than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the entire of humanity. And the secret behind that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. It can also, sometimes when fame finds an individual, it can also be a ni'mah. And the reason that it is a ni'mah is because sometimes a certain degree of fame, a certain degree of notoriety can serve as a protection from other times of sins. Because if you have a little bit of fame, a little bit of respect in society, people are not going to push you around. People are not going to make you zaleel. Right? No, Allahumma inni a'udhubika min adlimu aw uzlam. You don't want to oppress others, but you also don't want to get oppressed. Right? You don't want to get robbed. Right? You don't want to get, you don't want to be treated like a homeless person and people are spitting at you. Right? That's not a nice life to live. It would bring you, save you from injustice of others, sometimes the oppression of others. It can save you, it can give you, grant you a certain level of safety. So in the same way that a modicum of wealth is actually good. Right? It prevents you from having to beg others. It prevents you from having to, you know, be dependent on others and ask. It gives you a certain sense of istighna, a certain amount of fame and, you know, good opinion in the eyes of others is actually good. And asking for that is not a bad thing. And this is actually the secret behind it. Now you can understand, you know, when Umar radiallahu anhu, and for a long time I never understood this dua. Now it made sense. Then when he used to ask that, Ya Allah, make me small in my own eyes, but big in the eyes of people. Like, you're like, why would you want to be big in the eyes of people? Because there's so many dini benefits that come with that too. Right now in this day, you know, imagine in that time if you said, Amirul Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anhu is calling you, right? And people listen. Right, there was growth with that. There was benefit from that. He could do amr bil ma'roof. He could do nahi anil munkar. He could run the country properly. He could bring people towards good. There were so many other benefits that came from the respect, right, and from the honor. Now, and we have to be careful that we don't seek respect and honor. And this is another subtle trick of shaitan. Sometimes he tells you, go and become X, Y, and Z. And this is a big mistake that Western Muslims make. They say, we have to be the best in our field because we're doing it for Allah. And we need to show the world that Muslims are the best, right? And no, you're not doing it for Allah, you're doing it for yourself, right? Because you want a good life and you want so many other things, but they veil it by saying that we're doing it for Allah. And this one of my teachers, he really unearthed that. He said, why are you becoming a doctor? I said, oh, I'm doing it because of, so I can get money and I can, you know, donate it. And he said, Islam doesn't need your money. And I said, oh, I want to, you know, have my respect and use it for the sake of Islam. Islam doesn't need respect. Our respect is with Islam. Islam's respect is not with us. It's like we had the equation backward. So, but anyway, it saves difficulties. And to this end, then a person should make dua for that type of thing. But it's a subtle balance. Closely related, right, is to this is the love of praise, love of fame. It's a little bit different is the love of praise, right? Fame is حُبُّ التَّجَمُّلْ فِي that's real, but تَجَمُّلْ فِي عَيْنِ النَّاسِ, that when a person is famous, is well known in a positive light amongst the masses, amongst many people, right? People feel like that they've amassed something the same way that they've amassed dollars in the bank. The love of praise is just you like people to say good things about you. يُحِبُّونَ, and the worst thing is people like this even or not they deserve it or not. يُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا, right? You're not, and people are so psychophantic and they're so slavish and they're so brown nosing. I went to a wedding, and you know it just bothered me so much. It actually gave me some PTSD because I remember what it used to be like when we were teenagers. And like there's this one guy, he's like, you know, walking with his girl, and you know there are all these girls standing on one side with these beautiful shararas. He's like, oh, I'm making up names, right? This is not real. Farheen, how are you? So great to see you. No, that color of that dress, subhanallah, that sharara, it looks amazing. I love that color. I mean, he is like falling over himself in front of, next to his wife. Right? I wasn't looking at this, you know, unfold. I was hearing this unfold. But the fact that, and I just remember those days where people would just, they would toss this empty flattery, so that sometimes it was so insincere. Sometimes you say it because they can say nice things back to you. Sometimes you say it because that then everyone thinks that they like you and you're trying to get them to like you. And it was just this, you know, like it was just like musical chairs of psychology that was going on. It just made you want to throw up, right? It just made you want to, this love of praise. And then, no, these people, like he said that to you, he also said that to the 15 girls that came behind you, right? It wasn't like that. But then she's just thinking, oh my God, I have to wear the sharar to every party, right? Because he said this to me. Like these, they're like heads are floating in some like magical world that doesn't exist. And it's just praise gets to people's heads, right? Flattery, I don't know, this type of things. So just be careful about that. And this is, flattery is different, right? Flattery is bad. And that's, like Prophet ﷺ said, that if a person flatters you, throw dust in their face. Because you don't want it to get to your head. You don't want to get a big head about it. You don't want to become deluded. You don't want to fall into this idea of ghurur, right? And this is something that's, I mean, it's crazy. I remember I went, when I was a teenager, I went out to get pizza at one of these conventions, like these Islamic conventions, with, you know, this one friend I had from childhood. And the way that those conventions work, like everyone comes dressed up, they're decked out, you know, you're trying to pick up a girl, they're not there to listen to Sheikh Hamza Yusuf. You also listen to him on the side, but there's like other like ulterior motives that are going on. And so I remember grabbing pizza with this guy, right? And look, he was like sort of, he wasn't the most attractive person, like objectively speaking, right? And he was like on the shorter side, this, that, but he was like in ghurur, right? And something came up and he said, I'm like, oh, so you think you're beautiful? He's like, yeah, I'm beautiful. Like he was just saying it, like, I'm beautiful, like the most beautiful, like I'm the best person at ISNA. Like there's no one as beautiful as me. And I was like, sure. I mean, I didn't pop that balloon, but people, I was like, okay, man, you do you. I still want to be your friend. But it was like, I still remember that. Like people can, and how sometimes that happens is because people take people's praise too seriously, right? This is different from appreciation. Appreciation is a good thing, right? If someone does something nice to you, you should appreciate it. If someone has, you know, some good sifa, you can appreciate it. You should. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. You didn't show shukr to people, you didn't show shukr to people. This is not the same thing as praise. I'm talking about sycophantic, you know, flattery. That's something you should. And the difference also is when a person is appreciative, debt chukana, like trying to pay off a debt. Right? A person feel like you did something, some ihsan. I'm trying to level the field because, you know, like it's al yadul ulya khayrun min yad as-sufla. There's a good intent over there. That's different from in flattery. The intent there is actually there's either an ulterior motive. These are the things which are involved in flattery. Sometimes there's an ulterior motive. If there's an ulterior motive, it's not appreciation, it's flattery. Number two is exaggeration. In appreciation, there's no exaggeration. You don't exaggerate except out of humility, right? Over here, there's exaggeration, on the sabil of trying to get some ulterior motive. And the third thing is that in the difference between appreciation and flattery is that in appreciation, it's fact-based. It's based on something that actually happened, as opposed to flattery, it's not based on anything, right? It's just based on fluff. That could be another thing. Another closely related disease is seeking attention, seeking validation, and seeking to be liked, right? I mean, there's a whole, subculture. I wouldn't say it's a subculture anymore because it is the dominant culture right now, which is based on being liked, right? On grabbing attention. And we talked about this in the back room. We talk about this all the time, but it's an overwhelming, and it's, I can't tell you the type of mental health toll that it has had on this next generation, looking at, you know, these people with these perfect bodies and perfect lives on Instagram and thinking what that does to you. And now you also, your whole purpose is to, people can't even live in the moment, right? Because the idea is to create some type of artificial moment that is special enough so that it can catch someone else's attention. Ajib, you waste your whole real life to make something fake to get something fake, right? Make something fake so you can post something fake, which is not about you, which is not how you look. You're catfishing all the time, and then you create this, you know, this fake thing, so that you can get something fake, which is another person's intention. I mean, it's the uselessness is mind-boggling, but it becomes so preponderant that people design their whole entire lives around this. They live their lives based on what other people will think. Loga kya bolenge, loga kya sonchenge. It determines who your daughter can get married to. Like husband, the guy and the girl, they want to get married. They're in love. There's a good girl, good guy. They say, oh, but if we marry them, what will our family say? Right? She doesn't have a big enough degree. Right? He's not a doctor. Right? He's not Bangladeshi. He's not from Hyderabad. He's not from this street. What will people say? What difference does it mean what people say? You're ruining those kids' lives, right? They're literally their lives, based on what those people, they'll just go on with their life. And people make all types of poor decisions based on this. So the thing is that one of the ways to get out of this is stop chasing the rida of people and to start chasing the rida of Allah. Stop seeking validation by people. وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Right? Why don't you worry about getting liked by Allah? Right? One like by Allah and you're set. You're set in the dunya, you're set in your akhirah. But to get that like, you're going to have to get a lot of these from everyone else. That's just the way it works. Right? That's okay. Because you know the Prophet said if you're happy with me, wala ubali, then I don't care. Doesn't matter what trials I'm in, doesn't matter what type of afflictions I'm in, qalu sahirun majnu, it doesn't matter what people say, it doesn't matter what do, Allah, you'll be happy with me. And it's so liberating when you can live like that, because you get the performance pressures off. You can just be you. You can just be yourself. This is one other thing, big advice that I give people. Just be yourself. Stop wearing two faces. I think it was Rumi or another famous person who he said it beautifully. He said, be like the sun, just show one face to all. It's a lot easier too, right? Mufti Rala used to say this. He said, Sheikh Sufakar would say this. He's like, one of the benefits of not lying is then you don't have to keep track of your lies. Right, because then because when you said so many lies and you say, oh, this person, I said this lie over here about this or what I'm actually doing, so then I can't say that in this gathering. It's like it gets really complicated. Just be yourself. And no, if a person can't like you for who you are, then that person's not your friend. That's not your true friend. You should be able to be comfortable in your own skin with those type of individuals. In fact, me personally, one of the people I feel so happy to be around is those people, like maybe from my childhood or something, where you're not a sheikh with them at all. You just sit down and you're just another one of the boys. Right? You're just a guy, you're sitting down, you're just talking just normal, you're just human. Right? There's no like, oh, Hazrat this or Hazrat that. It's just you. Feels good. Right, I mean, and there's some mashayikh there. There's benefit in that. I mean, Sheikh Nuh won't eat in front of his students because there's a bashariya, and people become too familiar, and it's not beneficial for the students, and they need to have a certain respect for the teacher. Oh, I get all that, right? There's all that, but at the end of the day, you want to know who's by your side. When you fall into difficult times and tough times, the people who are by your side, who care about you just for you, those are your real friends. And in life, one friend is enough. You don't need a lot. You don't need a lot of likes. If you have 100,000 followers and subscribers to your channel, I can almost guarantee you when you're in the hospital, not one of them are going to be at your bedside. Not one. Right? All the people, they say, oh my God, I love you. I wish I could marry you. I could do this. And they're fantasizing about you and all those other things. You fall sick and there's not a person at your bedside. Right? Except maybe your madrasa buddy who you did hifz with and who used to pull pranks on you. Right? Madrasa friends for life. And that's just one of, that's the bro code. That's just something to know. In this day, people don't even want to hear your problems. They want to dump their problems on you. But when you actually want to open up to someone and start talking to them, then they got bored. They're like, bro, I got to go. Like, Ajib, they don't forget about helping you in your problems. They don't want to hear your problems. Ajib. Our elders, subhanAllah, Allah bless them, they were so sincere and they used to shun fame. They used to hide from fame. Our teachers used to be such, we talk about students doing khidmah of the teachers. Our teachers were the ones who would go in the middle of the night and clean the students' bathrooms, right? With their own hands. They would dust the path that the students would walk on with their own rumals, right? And this is something I've seen with my own eyes, right? They would go ahead of the students and get their rooms ready when they had to go for Umrah. Just so humble, and they would do it secretly in such a way that no one would know. One of the Habaib, he would sneak out secretly and go somewhere else and do Ibadah in such a way that they don't become known that, oh, this person does so much Ibadah. And so, like, so secretively, hidingly, so much so like they know that when you give with your right hand so the left hand doesn't know, or your left hand the right hand doesn't know. This is how they would go about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They would take care of the poor people. They had set up a system and they would have like a buddy system, like these people are poor, this person take care of them, this person. And there's this one family that was being taken care of and there was no name on the register. Umar radiallahu anhu, he came across that, so he said, I want to find out who this guy is taking care of this guy, these people. So he went and asked them and they said, oh, we don't know who it is. It's just that he would come and he would say, hijab or parda, and we would just go in because we're women. We would just go in and he'd come and he'd clean and he'd do whatever he had and he would leave. So he would be like, one day he said, I'm going to wait and find out who he is. So he's waiting, and a person comes back and he grabs him and he said, ah, I got you. And it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, right? This is how they would, they would not let anyone find out their good deeds. Our elders, they used to hide their good deeds the way that we hide our bad deeds. know how we try to delete our history? They used to delete their history of the good deeds, but Allah recorded it for them. And this is another thing that was mentioned. One time a person, a sheikh, came and gave a talk at one of the madaris, I think, in Pakistan. Very big sheikh, very well known. And there was an entourage that came behind him. And after he left, Mufti Rafi was the former chief justice in Pakistan. He came and he sat down with the students afterwards. And he said, he's very good. He's a very good sheikh, all these things. And thing. He said, I just wanted to clarify one thing for the students. He said, this wasn't the way of our elders. He said, "Hamare akabir chupna chahte the," right? They wanted to hide. They didn't want to become known. They didn't want to have entourage. You know, like I remember one of my teachers. Sometimes, you know, the love just overwhelms you in your heart. I would see him, and I would want to like kiss his hand, right? So I just grabbed his hand and tried to kiss it, and the way he yanked his hand out of my hand, I was like, "Okay, I'm not gonna try that again." That was last time. They just didn't like this. You know, this. People like falling over themselves and aggrandizement, so on and so forth. So I was telling you about talking, I know we started with love of fame, it translated eventually to trying to get attention. The same thing with getting attention at parties, getting attention at work, getting attention, like we're not about attention grabbing, right? That's not what we do. Which basically brings down the entire enterprise of social media. And I can give a whole talk about the spiritual diseases, new spiritual diseases that have actually come up because of social media. Because, you know, these things evolve. They're not static. You're not going to find everything in these old books of Imam Mawlud, right? Some of them are going to be very 21st century, and they're new types of diseases. Like, where are you going to find a disease called angst, right? Yeah, it's a spiritual disease, right? But it's very like 1990s, and like the 2021s have their own diseases, subhanAllah. But I'll give you one exception for the attention rule, and that's when it comes to children. Don't get Sufi on your children, okay? Give your children attention. Give them compliments. Give them praise. Not indiscriminately, right? Like everyone gets a trophy just for participating. I mean, it's like that's also a disservice. But you also want to help make their foundation, their core strong. Because kids who don't grow up with validation from their parents for the rest of their life, they're not on stable ground, right? They feel like they're not confident, they can't do things. Then they also fall into so many other problems. Like, you know, a girl who doesn't feel beautiful or valuable to her father and she doesn't get that attention from her dad, she'll get it from a guy. But if you want to save your daughter from falling into bad relationships, make a strong relationship with her. How many times I've heard from sisters that, you know, I didn't want to mess up because I couldn't do that to my dad. Because they had that strong relationship. And, you know, girls who have daddy issues, then they also can have guy issues. And then they have problems in those relationships as well, right? Like downstream. Sometimes they'll have attachment disorders. And one of the Khubaisi sisters, she said it beautifully, right? One of the aunts, she said, no, for your kids, no, these spiritual principles, these are important, but you also have to let the trees grow up to a point where then you can trim it, right? When they're still so small, you're trying to like tug at it and try to clip everything, it'll never grow, right? You have to give it some space, like let the child grow up. And so they should grow up in a feeling of warmth, a feeling of confidence, a feeling of security. You have to create an environment of aman around them. That, you know, and there should be rules. I'm not saying that, you know, everything goes, but don't criticize them that much. Because the kids will not tell you, but their parents, and I've talked to other kids like this, especially little kids when they're 5, 6, 7 years old, they won't tell you, like, but the validation of their parents mean the world to them. And believe it or not, people who struggle with that, they'll struggle that into their 30s and 40s. They still want the approval of their mom and dad because they never got it. It's really, really sad. You know, I remember telling when my son was, I don't know, very young, and we decided to drop him in Chicago to do HIFS with a very, you know, very good HIFS teacher. He was very young, and my parents were dead against it, right? Dead against it. They're like, you shouldn't do it. And no, we were like, no, we're on track. He's like, this is going to be the next Mufti Taqi, and he has to hit this mark by this time and this time and this and this and this. And so we drop him off with all good intentions. And my parents are like, no, you shouldn't be forcing him to do this. And I was like, we're not forcing him. He's doing it because we talked to him, we explained to him, he wants to do it. And by all semblances on the surface, it seemed like he wanted to do it. But later on, when you dig and find out somewhere inside, they still want to make mom and dad happy. And they think that that's the right thing. That's what my mom and dad are saying. So I should be doing it. And so they'll toe the party line. And only much later it comes out that that might not really have been what they really truly wanted. Right? And later on, when they become teenagers, then it comes clear that maybe their path was a different path. And then you have to respect that. But you want to be careful a bit about being critical, right? They say the complement to criticism ratio should be like 5 to 1. Right? Say much more nice things. Every small, like, don't ignore the good things that they do. And once in a while, you can correct them. That's fine. It's not only fine; it's good. You should do that. But kids who grow up with overcritical parents, they feel like a couple of things happen. Either they fall apart as people. Or sometimes they even just stop caring. Like, I can never make them happy. Like, forget this Islam thing. Forget this school thing, right? They just drop out. They become junkies because they're like, no matter what I ever do, it's never good enough. So why should I even try? And this is learned helplessness. So we have to be careful from that. And then they become unstable. So the treatment for this disease is pondering, number one, how flimsy people's thoughts and how flimsy fame is. Number two, pondering how transitory it is. Number three, remembering that both the person who honors and the person who is honored will perish. And then the fourth thing, and this is actually a very powerful thing to take care of all of these closely related diseases that I talk, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the dar and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nafi'. The source of benefit and the source of harm is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If all of creation were to come together and try to benefit you, they could not benefit you in the least. And if all of creation were to come together and they wanted to harm you, they could not harm you in the least. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of benefit and the source of harm. So if you want to seek any benefit and you want to avoid any harm, and this is the basis of human psychology, is to seek benefit and to avoid harm, then seek it with Allah. Don't seek it with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they're ajiz. They can't do anything anyway. Right? They can't do anything anyway. And then the last thing I'll leave you with and we'll close is that, remember, one of my teachers said it beautifully. He said, "Koi bolne se nahi ban jata." Right? If someone, just because someone says you're something doesn't make you that. Right? So if someone calls you a sheikh, doesn't mean that you're a sheikh. You should know who you are. If someone says that, oh, mashallah, you're so smart, you're so this, you're so that, a person should know how much water they themselves are in. Balil insanu ala nafsihi basira. This is not referring to it in this context, but you know, ala ibrati li ummi wal anfas. Generally speaking, this is actually a true meaning that you know yourself, right? And you should know yourself. And if you're not in a state of ghurur, then that's a good place to be in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the ghurur of seeking fame, and make us from those who are humble and close to the earth. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.